Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to start this morning from actually an Old Testament passage of Scripture found in the Psalms. We're going to look at it in two different versions, two different translations. This is the New King James here, Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. The psalmist declares, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." This is how the Amplified states it. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust." Beautiful picture the psalmist had of the secret place and just the strength and the stability, where you find that that stability in life is based on where I'm at. I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. There's a foundation there. Jesus tells us something also then in the New Testament that really refers to that place. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." So here again we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Jesus is referring to this place called the secret place, the secret place. It's not a geographical location. It's a place that you can get to from any geographical location. It's a place where you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place where you can begin to speak from your heart to the Lord, and it's you and him. It's a secret place. I love that word. I love how it's put. That secret place between you and God. You know, when you study the Bible, if you look up the phrase devotion time, you won't find that in the Bible. In fact, I've just tried to find the word devotion and time in the same verse together. I can't find that. But you do see in the Bible a lot of references to the secret place. The secret place. God has a secret place. It's a wonderful distinction between those two. And this morning, what I want to do, you know, we were really singing about it this morning, come to the altar. His arms are open wide. There's a secret place that we have in God. There's a secret place that we have through Jesus Christ. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go into that secret place together. We're going to walk around in there a little bit. We're going to see what it's like. And I just believe that God is going to minister to you this morning about this secret place. It's your place. It's a place that God has consecrated just for you. So, this morning we're ministering along the lines of, we'll just call it the secret place. There's a few things that we find as we enter into the secret place. Some things that are very powerfully distinctive about it. The first thing that we find when we come into the secret place is we find that it is For us believers in Jesus Christ, it's a new place. The place, when we go to the secret place, it's a place that's actually even different and better than where the psalmist went in Psalm 91. He abided under the shadow of the Almighty. Think, how can it get better than that? God made a way. So you got to understand, when Jesus is telling us to go to the secret place, it's a brand new place. This is a new place. New. It is something that people have wanted for millennia to experience, what me and you get to experience. This is what the scripture says in Hebrews. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, that's the secret place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. We're living on the side when the veil has been torn. That is his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's talking about approaching this secret place by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we talk about the secret place for us believers, it carries a whole new set of import. It is an amazing place. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, at one point it says, he turned to his disciples and privately said, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and have not seen it, to hear what you hear and have not heard it. In the old covenant, they were looking forward to Jesus. They had a secret place for their covenant, but they were looking forward to another new secret place. It was going to be even better and more powerful than the one they had. And the one they had is pretty amazing. But we're talking about a secret place that has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, a new and living way. I have boldness to enter by the blood. I don't have boldness to enter because I had a good day today or a bad day today. My boldness to enter is the same whether I had a good day or a bad day. It's by grace through faith. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, the secret place. I'm entering by the blood. This is new. This is a new and living way that we have through Jesus Christ. And there were prophets that wanted to see it. Jesus said there are people that want to get in on what you got in on. They saw it in the future, but they weren't here as you're here. We're here. In Hebrews, we see also, we see a little bit more about these people that wanted to see it. We see the martyrs. In Hebrews, it says they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. They're commended here. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. These were some of those folks that Jesus said would have loved to see what you see. Amplified says, all of these, though they won divine approval by the means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised while they were in their earth life down here. In other words, they didn't. Jesus is saying, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. You're getting in on some big stuff that wonderful, godly people before you would have loved to get in on. Here's another person who would have loved to get in on it. His name's Job. It's a man who went through a horrendous, horrendous experience of tragedy. And he's got his well-meaning friends doing their spiritual psychoanalysis on him, which is, you know, another layer of grief upon his already grief that he's dealing with. And he's so frustrated, he's so exasperated, Job, at one point, when he just doesn't feel like he's being understood. And he makes this declaration. This is Job 9. He says, and this is Job talking about God. Job says, he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let me dread of him, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me. What did Job want? He's going through some tough times. And he was hearing things that were not right, not just. He wanted a mediator. He wanted somebody that could put his hand in his hand as a man, and somebody who could put his hand in God's hand as God and mediate between what I'm going through and God, and still feel like I'm being understood. Job was saying, I would love to have that right now. And this is what we find out as part of the New and Living Way. What does the Bible say? Here's a couple scriptures about Jesus. It says, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Job wanted it, in verse 33, we got it in Jesus Christ. My little children, these things I write to you so that you don't sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate. It's a lawyer. It's somebody who's going to represent you on a legal basis, who's going to take up your cause. Man, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And this is the way the scripture describes, okay, Jesus has done it. So there's a conclusion we see in Hebrews. Seeing then, we have this mediator. Seeing then, we have this great high priest. The high priest is a mediator between God and man. That's what a priest does. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted in all points as we are. That's the man. That's his hand in man's hand. Sympathetic with our weaknesses. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He understands the human condition. He is a man. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He's not a man. Yes, he is now. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Thank God he did and became that mediator. He put his hand in our hand, yet he's without sin. He can sympathize, but it doesn't mean he compromised anything morally. He's without sin. His hand is still in God's hand. He bridges that gap of a sympathetic mediator. Boy, would Job have loved to have that. He was literally prophesying it. He was literally prophesying our need for Jesus in the midst of that horrific situation he was in. Let us therefore, let's come to a conclusion here, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not again, not because I had a good day, not because I'm feeling good. Therefore, because I have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, what a mediator. He totally gets us and didn't compromise a thing. He's all God, all man. Praise God. Another passage in Hebrews kind of puts it this way, same concept. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, like me and you, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Boy, isn't that what Job wanted? He wanted some aid. He wanted some help. Amplified, for because he himself in his humanity, hand in our hand, has suffered being tempted, tested, and tried, he's able to immediately run to the cry of assist, relieve those who are being tempted, tested, and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Wow, this is a new place. When we come to the secret place, we're coming to something the Old Testament folks couldn't come to. They were looking to, they wanted to see it. And Jesus said, you guys are blessed. Boy, so many folks wanted to get in on what you're getting in on. And they didn't. You are. Job wanted a mediator. We got it. He wanted somebody who understood his human condition and could still be able to communicate with God. We got it in Jesus Christ. That's why it's such a safe place.
It's a secret place that I can come to. But it's a new place. It's a place that's only been around for the last couple thousand years because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's been a secret place. There was a secret place, but it's not the same. This is a new and living way. This has dual representation of God and man. I'm coming into that secret place, not before a God who's afar off who doesn't get me. I'm walking into that secret place before my high priest who's walked a mile in my shoes and totally gets every pull of my body. And he's merciful, and he's sympathetic. That's what makes this new. That's what makes this different. It's a new ballgame. This is what I love to celebrate every time we take communion. One of the things I celebrate is the element of the bread. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It reminds me of this new secret place that we have in him. Tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He gets us. He knows it. He loves us. And the thing that I want to kind of bring out here, too, is the reason why we can get into the secret place, kind of backing up here to our first scripture, is because it says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is what gives us that ability to enter into the secret place. You know, I know when I would working for clients and doing programming, different things like that, a lot of times they would give you access cards when you're working for kind of corporate America on some levels and things like that. And I would have an access card. And that access card would give me access to the fourth floor in the IT department. And I could go in there, and it's all high security locked off, but I pull out my little card and click, I've got access. That card gives me access to that secret place. The blood gives you access. And again, that card will work whether I had a good day or a bad day. The access is in the card. It's not in me. The access is in the blood. It's not in you. It'll work every time. I don't have to hope it worked this time. It works every time. It's the blood. I have access by something that is apart from my goodness. It's grace through faith. It's great to know that you're saved by grace through faith and salvation, but you also got to know that you're entering that secret place by grace through faith. It didn't just stop at the cross. It started at the cross. It goes with you your whole life, this divine access that you have as a believer. So it's a new way. The secret place is a new place. New home smell in this secret place. It is fresh. It is new. It is unlike anything it ever had before. The prophets wanted it. Kings wanted it. Job wanted it. You and me got it in Christ. It's new. Praise God for it. So, not only is it a new place, the secret place, but it is also a safe place. It is a safe place. And I'm really believing God that this is going to just be very real to all of us this morning. That the secret place in Christ is a safe place. Jesus put it this way. He said in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, I shared with you last week, it came up in my heart as we were talking about spotting demonic attacks and different things like that and different subtle ways that the enemy lies to us in our minds and our hearts. And, you know, I just kind of passed along a fear that I had been dealing with, kind of this subtle fear in my heart that, and I kind of found out that after the service that many of you had dealt with the same fear too, but it was just this. I didn't feel safe in the secret place. I was afraid that if I poured my heart out to God, that the devil was going to hear what I said. And so, you know, if I said anything incriminating, he was going to turn around and use it against me. And so I'd be a little bit nervous when I'd come to the throne of grace. Well, if that's true, that really can't be true. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is it possible for somebody who's really heavy laden to find rest if you believe with all your heart? Satan is lingering right there, side by side with God, listening and taking notes to everything you say. Feeling a little heavy laden, huh? That's interesting. Guilty conscience? Tell me about it. What exactly did you do? No way. No way. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden," he didn't say, "Come on to a satanic interrogation session that you may find rest for your souls." We got to think some things through a little bit. When we got born again, we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I became a new creation in Christ. The old passed away, all became new. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I was redeemed into the family of God. I was not redeemed into a three-way conference call with God and the devil on a recorded line. Well, you know, Father, Just wait a second. This prayer is now being recorded. Son, tell me everything. Yeah, well, remember that thing last Tuesday? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, that thing? Yeah. I was communicating and probably could have been a little more edifying in the way I communicated, a little more edifying. And all of a sudden, you start to begin to talk and pray in code. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd. This is what a good shepherd does. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, if you kind of do a little study on sheep, they are very timid little creatures. It's quite a feat for a little sheep to lie down in those green pastures. That sheep needs to know it's safe before it's going to lie down. If that sheep sees a wolf prowling around those green pastures, it's not going to lie down. The sheep lies down for a reason. The good shepherd assures the sheep, this is a safe place. You can lie down. You can do this. Praise God. Jesus is that good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Praise God. Let's take a look at a couple. You know, we talked about the new place. Let's look at a couple more old place promises. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. You shall hide me in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. This is old place promises. There was protection in the old secret place. Now you're in a new secret place. You're coming right up to the throne of grace, to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to the very presence of God. Something to keep in mind if you're dealing with this fear. Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. You realize that? On a planet of 7 billion people, even if he did, choose you, he just chose to crash your secret place time. Even if he chose to do that, he would have to get the access that you got by the blood of the Lamb. He doesn't have an access card that works there. In other words, your secret place is really a secret place. But you know, even if he is a trespasser, right? Let's say, and I'm just saying this hypothetically, to address your worst fears. Let's say that slime ball came in just before the door closed when somebody else had their access. You know, that can be done. And there he is. And he's not just in your head. You're in the secret place. You're not off by yourself. You went into the secret place. There's a difference between you dealing with fear and anxiety in your head off by yourself and you going to the secret place with that. Now you're in a place. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. You just got into that place. And Satan is there. The Bible calls Jesus the author and the finisher of my faith. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I don't have to be afraid that everything I say can and will be held against me in this court of law. No, not at all. I can express my heart fully to the author and the finisher of my faith. And again, I'm just doing a worst case hypothetical. He's not there. But even if he was there, you got to remember something. God knows what's going on in Satan's head. Satan does not know what's going on in God's head. We found that at the cross. I mean, Jesus had to virtually take Judas by the hand and help him through the betrayal process to even pull that off. God is always many steps ahead of the devil. As the finisher of my faith, I'm not responsible to have to outthink the devil. I'm just responsible to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the one who began this good work in me. He's the one who's going to be faithful to complete it. Within his instructions are 10 steps ahead of the devil, even if he got there. I fear nothing. I say every detail, every nuance, without fear of reprise or fear of satanic retaliation. Because God is there. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Do you understand? Somebody wrote Billy Graham and asked the question this way. This is Billy Graham Ministries. The question was posed this: can the devil hear you when you pray out loud? If so, maybe we should just pray silently, because then he wouldn't be able to step in and block our prayers. Maybe I shouldn't worry about this, but I do. I understand. I had the same little nagging thing. Answer. No, you should not worry about this, because God is more powerful than Satan. And even if the devil did try to block God's answer to our prayers, he wouldn't be able to do it. Remember, Jesus prayed openly. He taught his disciples to pray openly. In other words, our concern shouldn't be, does Satan hear my prayers, but does God hear my prayers? This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him, whatever it is, on any spectrum. The issue isn't whether Satan is listening. The issue and the point is God is listening, and I have his ear, and I am his child. Worst case scenario, it's irrelevant. You can bear your heart in full. Do you understand? As the finisher of your faith, Satan doing a little demonic side deal on you to take what you say and use it again, God's all ahead of that. That's an attack on God. Like I said, this is a secret place. He doesn't have access. He's not there. You've got privacy. You can get alone with God when you come to do that. But the point of the matter is you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid to bear your heart. Is the secret place a safe place? Yes, it is. The old secret place was a safe place from the strife of tongues. It was a safe place from the plots of men. How much more, seeing we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, and when I'm coming before the throne of God, he's right there in my face, empathetic and sympathetic toward what I'm going through. Do I have to not be afraid of the devil? He is there. It's a safe place. All right, we're going to get a little deeper. It's an intimate place. We know it's a new place. This is unlike any place that's ever happened before. It's a safe place. We have access by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a throne of grace where I can express my heart and know that he is there. He is with me. He is for me. But it is an intimate place. And this is where we find the intimacy of this place. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. You're in the secret place. This is what he's telling you to do. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That is quite an admonition, to cast all your care upon him, the whole of your care, all your worries, fear, anxieties. Kind of a companion scripture, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication means definite request. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Listen to this admonition of Scripture. It is saying, casting all your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, upon him, for he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. All right. Now let's go back to what I call when I was trying to pray in a way that I could kind of sort of let God know what was going on without showing my hand to the devil. I call that my politically correct prayer, so that I could try to express my heart without turning state's evidence against me and being part of my own downfall or something like that. To have to pray in such a way that it was coded. You dedicated, loyal faith people, your heads are probably spinning a little bit right now, in some ways, maybe. I don't know. I'm a faith guy. I believe in faith. I believe the word of faith. Graduated from a faith school. And thank God for the word of faith. We got a revelation of the importance of words that we've needed in the body of Christ for a long, long time. Because people were destroying their own life with their words. And praise God, we learned that we could talk in line with the word of God, and we can talk the word of faith, and not cooperate and come into agreement with the devil and speak words of doubt and unbelief and tear our own lives down. We've needed that message so powerfully bad, and that message so wonderfully resonated with me, and I've seen the truth of it. It is a glorious truth, the power of your words. But somehow, in some cases, I know with me a little bit, something got lost. We made no distinction between the internal negative doubt and unbelief, the internalizing of our words that had nothing to do with the secret place, just speaking and internalizing and speaking doubt and fear and unbelief, distinguishing that from the casting your cares on the Lord and articulating to Him those things that are going on in your heart. There's a huge distinction between those two. We just kind of, positive words, good. Negative words, bad. Wrong. I know it's convenient to oversimplify things because it keeps it a lot easier to keep track of and it's a lot less necessary to walk by faith. Positive, good, no. You have a living relationship with God. There are times when you're going to say negative things, and yes, from the motive of your heart, they're destructive. But there are going to be times when you are going to speak things that are negative. I mean, just think about it. Anxiety. Cares. Most cares are negative in nature. There's probably not a lot of positive cares. Cast all your anxieties, all your worries, all your fears. So if I'm over here, and I'm going to cast a care on the Lord, I got to be able to articulate that care. I got to be able to say in gross detail that thing, and what am I doing? I'm not going negative for the sake of going negative. I am taking a care, an anxiety, a worry, a concern, and I am articulating it. I am casting it upon Him so I can get the heavy ladenness off me and onto Him. Until I acknowledge Him with my ways, He can't direct my paths. Your motive is acknowledging Him. But if I can't articulate what I'm really feeling without violating my faith conscience, you're never going to cast it. Hey, I've been there. I'm a fellow faith person talking to faith people. And you'll walk around with kind of that dull, not really satisfied. That's why you'll have those breakthrough moments. When you're totally slain before God, you're totally, and you're just, you pour it all out. And what does the Bible say? Oh, man, that's good. There's two kinds of sorrow. There is a godly, there's a worldly sorrow that works death, that is full of depression and self-degradation, and it will bring you down. But there is a godly sorrow that will produce a clearing of yourself, a vindication. You're not hiding a thing. You got everything on the table before God. There's nothing you're holding back because you're afraid the devil's going to hear you. No. He's got the whole care. Cast the whole, not a coded care. Code. You know what I'm talking about, God? That thing? No. I'm articulating that thing. And there's relief in that. You're casting all your care, all your anxieties, all your worries upon Him. For He cares for me. You have to humble yourself to do that. You have to humble yourself and get that thing out. You're admitting something before God. You're admitting weakness. You're admitting concern. You're not trying to hold on to it in the name of being spiritual in some faith way. I am getting it off of me and onto Him. You know, in baseball, there's a phrase, balk. A pitcher can balk. All right? Now, I know that technically it can be any kind of, when a pitcher's on the mound, if he makes any kind of false or misleading move, it's called a balk. And the guys who are on base, if there are guys on base, they can take their base. The guys at the plate, I think, I'm not sure. Can the guy at the plate take his, no, the guy at the plate can't go. Got a resident baseball expert here. But if there's guys already on the base, they can take the next base. All right. A lot of times, the form of a balk is the pitcher, he'll make a move, but he'll never let go of the ball. He'll kind of hold on to it. And that's in the majority of the cases, it seems to be that way. So if you see a pitcher balk, he'll make a move, but he won't quite cast it. That's kind of where I had been. I wouldn't really cast my care. I'd balk my care. I'd make a move in that direction, but I'd never quite let go of it. When you cast your care, that ball isn't in your hand anymore. It's in his hand because he can care for you. And if you're trying to hold on to things, to not show the devil your hand, you're holding on to stuff, and you go from that place of prayer not having cast your care. Been there, done it many times. No more. He gets the whole, uncoded, unabridged version of my care cast on him. Why? He cares for me. No violation of my faith conscience. Complete agreement with my Bible conscience. And let me say this. You don't live your life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of your favorite faith preacher. You live it by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God says, cast the whole of your care on him. You articulate it. You cast it. That means you have the ability to describe something that's negative in nature. Not as a means of, not to go negative in self-pity, but as a means to an end of casting that on him. Casting it. Not balking it. Not holding on to it. But really letting it go. Sometimes you let go, let God. You know, what do people mean by that? I'm saying you articulate that thing. To where when anything comes back, you can say, yeah, I've articulated it to the nth degree. Because the enemy then comes back to you because you haven't really fully articulated it. But when you just fully articulate that thing, it's on the table for God to see. I mean, you understand, I mean, we see here already, there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes with whom we must give account. There's not a creature that exists that's not that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open, exposed, naked, defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing I'm holding on to that he hasn't already seen. By the time you finally get around to telling him where you buried the body, that's not when he finds out. He knew it. He saw it. That's just the moment when you finally get it off your chest, right? That's when you finally come clean before God without fear of the devil. Oh, no, he's going to run off and tell somebody, da, da, da. Hey, look, whatever incriminating thing, it is there. It's gone. It's at the throne of grace. It's, praise God. You come to that point, though. Like I said, I came to that point. I was dealing, I went, not that I was where the body was buried, but I say that. I'm trying to use, the extreme analogy so you're covered. All right? But you know what I'm saying? You kind of come to that place where you're going, okay, yeah, God, you already know it. I'm not doing this for your benefit. I'm doing it for my benefit. I'm doing it to just let what's in my heart out. I'm getting the whole thing off of me, the whole. I love that. The whole of my care. The whole thing. All. Anxiety, worry, concern. I shouldn't be going from that secret place with it still in my heart, having balked it, having made a motion in a coded direction. No, I can go there to the nth degree and tell him. Why? Everything's already naked and open before him. And I'll tell you something, too. When you begin to do this, when you break through, I'll say this sarcastically, and I'll say it ahead of time that I'm saying this sarcastically. When you break through your faith conscience that won't let you say anything negative, and you dare to step out, and remember where you are, you're at the throne of grace. You are before your great high priest. You're before the one who came in the likeness of sinful flesh and is sympathizing with your condition. And he's ready to run to the cry of. He's ready to run to the cry of you as you're being tempted. The reason why we don't get help is because he's got nothing to run to. He's ready to run to the cry of your heart. I'm going before that throne of grace. Saying, here we go, Father. Here we go. You can have it. I trust you. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Majesty. The Bible says, you know, when this whole shooting match is wrapped up, people are going to look at the devil and say, you mean that's the one who deceived the nations?
that little guy? That's what they're going to be saying. So you got that little guy, Pipsqueak, next to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you're focused on the Pipsqueak.
Come on.
When your Father, your Lord, your Savior, your Master is right there. He that is in you is so much greater than he that's in this world. Where your sin is abounded, his grace is much more abounded. He's not a little bit greater, he's much greater. You're looking at the glory of majesty as you're pouring your heart out. Like I said, the Pipsqueak doesn't even have any access to it. But in any case, I'm trying to build a case here this morning. When you're in the secret place, you don't hold back before your Lord. Don't worry about violating your faith conscience. Now, if you're over here having a self-pity party and you're gossiping and you're talking to people and you're tearing people, yeah, that's wrong. That's a worldly sorrow. That's getting in the flesh. Satan can hear you loud and clear when you're yielded to that flesh junk, but when you're by faith going there with concerns, with anxieties, that's a whole different context of negativity. That's for the purpose of casting it upon him to get that heavy ladenness off of you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. We got to be willing to lay it down, not carry it around in our conscience. If there's something that I've carried around in my conscience that I have not articulated before God, I still got that ball in my hand. Afraid I'm going to violate my faith conscience by saying something negative. Wrong. Like I said, I'm a faith guy. But I'm talking about the secret place stuff here. This is secret. This is you getting it right with God on all these on these different levels. When you get over here, the cool thing of it is, when you cross that and you realize I can talk to God about anything, this is where it gets fun. This is where you will develop a fun relationship with God. You will develop a sense of humor with God. He will say things that will make you laugh. You think, I'm going to get revelation? Yeah, you get revelation. He'll give you a revelation that'll make you laugh. That'll make you chuckle about how big he is, how little. He'll give you a revelation to go, wow, praise God. And you'll say things that you really believe make him laugh. Or at least smile. There's a rapport. Why? Because when you've got a relationship like that, even with a person, it's like, I can go anywhere with this person. Could it be true? I could really get alone with God and go anywhere with him? Yeah. It's a secret place. Bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The old place had some amazing benefits. But I'm telling you what, this new place is absolutely amazing. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize. All points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, that's what you're obtaining, isn't it? It's not condemnation. Not demonic condemnation. It's mercy and grace to help. That's what I see when I come. I don't come there with the fear of the devil. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Jesus instructed us to have an empathy toward people. When you're coming before that throne of grace, and you're that sheep, and you're afraid maybe because of something you did, or something you said, or something that was done to you, and you're confused, da-da-da-da-da, or circumstance of life, he has a divine understanding and empathy. He'll weep with those who weep. He'll sometimes just weep with you for a while. He'll rejoice with you for a while. You can come in there in the good times too and just tell the Lord how much you love him, how great life is. Either way, he'll have a supernatural empathy. The secret place. It's a new place. You have what Job and the prophets wanted, a mediator, a great high priest, Jesus Christ. It's a safe place. Your Lord is meek and lowly in heart. His yoke is light. You are safe in his presence from the plots of men and demonic interrogation. It's an intimate place where you can cast the whole of your care on him, freely tell him all your anxieties, worries, and cares without fear of satanic retaliation. You know, most of us understand these points theologically already. I'm going to give you a pop quiz now. And I'm going to show you, especially maybe if even you've been wrestling. I'm talking to fellow faith people here, perhaps. You've been wrestling with your freedom to really just let it all out. Can I really? What about Satan? He's going to show my hand and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Pop quiz. Here we go. True or false? God wants us to fear the devil while we're praying to him. False. That's great. There are some cares you cannot cast on the Lord. You must carry them yourself. Great. Praise God. And these are not, you're not like straining theologically here, are you? Right? Okay. These are just telling. There are some deep, dark secrets of your heart that you cannot confide with in God. You have to figure those out yourself. Yeah. Don't you even hear the witness of the Spirit saying false? Can't you hear the Holy Spirit saying false? Reminds me of the old Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy years ago in the old parodies. One of them that stuck with me through the years is like a two-line zinger. It goes like this. If while vacationing in Hawaii, your wristwatch happens to fall into a pool of molten lava, don't jump in after it. That sucker's gone. Thank you, Jack Handy. I'm sure that'll save my life someday. There are some things that should just be so self-evident that we overthink. True or false? God totally knows you. God totally loves you. And there is no place that you can't go in your prayer life with God. True. Not because a preacher or a pastor, the Holy Spirit in you is bearing witness this morning that it's true. We got to get over our little faith selves in some ways here. It's just a spirit of fear masquerading. There is no place you can't go in your walk with the Lord. You hear God saying repeatedly, you know, in His Word, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy, find grace to help in time. What is it? It's like God, it's almost like God is saying, at ease. And we're still kind of over here, nervous and uptight, and asking permission to speak freely. Kind of keeping our balance. Permission granted 2,000 years ago. New and living way. Come boldly. Job wanted to, he couldn't. You can. You know, the stuff I'm talking about this morning really isn't theological. You passed, you got 100% on the test, by the way. I'm not really talking about new theology, am I? I'm really talking about bringing our reality into line with what we sing about on a Sunday morning. He's there with arms open wide. Well, I don't see a picture of God there with his arms open wide and Satan with his notebook. Come on. I just see God with his arms open wide through a new and living way. That's what I see. It's a safe place. Praise God. Free to bear my heart. Again, there's a distinguish. I'm not over here self-pity, gossiping, talking, tearing myself down. I'm over here at the throne of grace. And you could even say the same words in some cases. Over here to people, it's not the same. You know, if you're over here and you got cares and worries and anxieties and you've called everybody, you've phoned everybody, you talked to everybody, but you haven't prayed yet, then you haven't prayed yet. There's a difference. Take those words. Be anxious for nothing, but definite request. Let God know what you know. Let God know what you don't know. You know that He knows, but you're getting it off of you onto Him. You're getting that heavy ladenness off of your soul and onto Him, and you're finding rest for your soul over here. I got it out. It's onto Him. It's not a lack of faith. It's faith in the Word that says, cast all your cares on Him. I'm being a doer of that Word, knowing that He cares for me. I am doing the Word. I'm letting my requests be made known unto God. And there's a peace that passes my understanding that keeps my heart and mind in Christ. But not because I've balked my care, not because I want emotion. I cast it. I let that whole thing go. It is over on Him. We'll close with this. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near.
leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. That's a sheep song right there. Again, there's a huge difference between doing your devotion time duty and having a secret place time where you find rest for your soul. If you go into that secret place time and you pray your coded prayers and you're politically correct, you better check on the inside. Do you have rest for your soul or not? If not, you better go back in there again and pray before the King of the universe who gave you this blood-bought access into that secret chamber of the holiest. We have access to enter the holiest. What would Satan be doing in the holiest? What communion has Christ with Belial? They don't. You know, I mean, the ideal, just get that picture out of your head, all right? But there's nothing to fear there. You got the answer right because it is the right answer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for that secret place. And I just pray, Lord, that each one of us this morning will really find the special, sweet, safe place that is in you. We thank you, Lord. Go ahead and just make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the secret place. I have access into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Job wanted a mediator, someone who could stand in between himself and God. I have it in Jesus Christ. I have a great high priest, tempted just like I am, yet without sin. He has his hand in my hand. He has his hand in the Father's hand. Thank you for the throne of grace. I thank you, it's a safe place. It's the holiest. You're there. This is not a three-way conference call. I've shut my door. I'm praying to you. You hear me. You're a safe place. I don't fear the devil. You're the finisher of my faith. You outthink the devil. You tell me what to do. I'm looking unto you, and I'm not distracted by the devil. Thank you that it really is possible to be alone with you and to fully bear my heart. It's an intimate place. There's nothing I can hold back that you don't already know. I can come clean without fear of Satan, because you're greater than he that's in this world. Heavenly Father, be my Lord and Savior. I want to be in your secret place to go through this life hand in hand with you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.